Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios at the City Deck Landing in Green Bay and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, welcome back. Great looking Wednesday out there. Man, we've had fun today. Big Wayne and Julie Mazzolini here talking about slow-mo May. Ben and Deanna Malcor here from Bay Area Realty. They were fantastic. This is the time of year, man. You want to buy or sell a home, and they are experts in their field. Ben and Deanna Malcor, located right downtown Green Bay in the corner of Broadway and Walnut. Just pop right in. This segment brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Now, this is for a very limited time, but if you order today from Pella, you'll get zero interest for up to 60 months. 60. You only have until May 10th for this incredible deal, so jump on it right now. When it comes to replacing or upgrading your windows and doors, you want to feel confident that your choices will turn out exactly how you envisioned them. Would it make more sense in your home to go with black frame windows or white? Whether your home is newer, classic, mid-century modern, or something truly historic like the mayor's house. Pella's design works, lets you see virtually what your home would look like with your new windows and patio doors before you buy. Vinyl, wood, or fiberglass, Pella has all the options to bring your vision to life, creating the perfect style for your home. Get zero interest-free financing up to 60 months if you order by May 10th. Certain restrictions apply. Set your free in-home consultation today at PellaWI.com.
Isn't that like 5 years?
Yeah.
Wow.
I think so. Five times so. We got Gizmo in the house.
Good morning.
I love having other guests here when Gizmo's here because they don't know he's a magician.
And
we always do, and I love it.
Yeah. So when Ben and Deanna were leaving, Gizmo did a magic trick. That was a really good one. I haven't seen that. That was really good.
You know what? I'm going to be honest with you. I'm standing a foot and a half away from you when you do that, and I have no idea how it happens. It's like literally watching magic happen.
That was very cool. You're so good at that. Yeah, you are.
You know, David Copperfield once said that magic offers the opportunity to believe that anything's possible.
Yes.
Yeah. Even if it's just for a brief moment.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know?
That's great.
And what's cool about magic, it's not a little kid's thing. Like Johnny and I are both
a
little older than kids. And I love that. So anyway, hey, you are here. Well, we love having you here no matter what you want to talk about. But this Population 485 with this Wisconsin author, quite the story. And you're going to bring that to life at the Meyer,
Web Theater.
The Web Theater.
I read the book years ago and I just thought it was fantastic. It's a guy in the western part of the state and he was a volunteer firefighter in things. And he just talks about a small community. If you really want to know the good, the bad, the warts, the whatever, be a volunteer firefighter type person.
Yeah.
You'd be amazed what happens in a community in so many different ways. And you guys are bringing, there's a phenomenal book called Population 485 by Michael Perry. And you guys are bringing that book to life at the Web Theater, right, Gizmo?
Evergreen Theater putting it on. You can find them at evergreenproductions.org. The show is just a really great way to get people to sort of, you know, get you in the mindset of where you are in your community and how much you are a part of it, you know, and it really is connective. People go and, I think people, when they go to see it, they'll really feel, just a little more connected to their own community just by seeing
it. And it opens your eyes basically.
It really does. It makes you a little more aware. It's things that you already knew, but when you see it and you hear it, you're like, wow, you know, that kind of stuff. A lot of those moments,
Really
so good. Are you in here, Gizmo, like you were in Gilgan's Island?
No.
Some other things? Okay,
I'm on the fringe.
Well, it seems like it'd be a little bit more serious than your type of roles.
Yeah,
it?
I like to do, I mainly do a lot of blended shows, which typically involve kids and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But this is an all-adult show, and Gilligan was too. This one, I just didn't have time because I was involved with James and the Giant Peach, which just finished. So I was the stage manager for that, and that was a pretty heavy... Everyone, we had like 30 kids. It was a pretty, pretty big show.
Wow.
It was so much fun.
Doesn't
so
sound
much
like it'd be hard corralling 30 kids on stage.
No, not at all. They're such good listeners at that age.
Sure, sure they are. Some of them are. No, a lot of them are.
So this kicks off Friday, and it runs for what? How long is this thing running?
It runs two weekends.
Oh, two weekends. Nice.
Two weekends, yeah. And here's the great thing. Today, Well, first I want to say this. I'm actually trained as a first responder. I know I do a lot.
Are you?
Yeah. I do a lot of things. Yeah, I do a lot of things, man. It's crazy.
I don't know if I fall off my bike this summer and I open my eyes and that's Gizmo taking care of me. I don't know.
Yeah. You'd be like, what are you doing? Are you doing something magical here?
Exactly.
Right.
You better make this broken leg disappear. Right.
Is this your card? You know, that
yeah,
whole thing.
Exactly. Yeah.
Is this your heart?
John, give me a dollar and watch what I do.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but no, I think it's in a way, and everybody can do whatever they want, but in a way, I think it's something everyone should do. I mean, a quick class out at NWTC, it's something you can do, and then you get, you can, you know, do it every year, and then, you know, and then if you're at a restaurant or you're at a show or something happens, you know, you can respond and help.
That's
them,
awesome.
Know? You know, if you're so inclined. I guess it's not for everybody, but I encourage
the CPR course.
Yeah, yeah, basic CPR.
Do they teach you the defibrillator in that class?
They do.
Okay.
They do.
And those are very, very, I mean, everywhere now.
And yeah, most of them are now automated where you don't really have to do anything. A child, and they have, children have used them. Yeah. They see it and they just pull it out.
Yeah,
and
we had Mark Houston from Bellin Sports Medicine. He brought one of those in. I don't think it's called a defibrillator, though.
Defibrillator, yeah.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Okay, yep. I thought it had a different name to it. But they're at almost every high school gym now.
John calls it that yellow thing.
The yellow thing on the wall.
Yeah, yeah.
But he actually, I mean, it tells you exact. It's almost foolproof.
It speaks to you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's foolproof.
Yeah. And I've done a magic for an event that I still think they do it every year. It was for a children's event where someone's child collapsed at a Packer game.
Oh.
And luckily they had one there and then they used it and saved the kid's life. And then because of that, they got more attention about children and they didn't have them in kids' schools at the time because they didn't think they'd need them.
Right.
Well, now they do.
Wow.
You know? So it's like, yeah. So really, really kind of an
amazing. You know, another thing that's getting big to have in schools and that too is because this lady, I was at a book signing. They wrote a book about it. She lost her son to a bee sting.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And
that's heavy.
Yeah. And jeez. They now have those things in a lot of schools, and she's promoting that big time.
Yeah. The EpiPen.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. Uh-huh. That's exactly it.
And
yes.
The EpiPen, now, this is something they teach you in a, if you go take a basic CPR course, is that the EpiPen is just enough to get you to the hospital. You better be on your way as you're hitting that EpiPen
right.
because it's just enough to get you there. You still need treatment. You know, it's not like, you got the EpiPen, let's go back to having a picnic, you know?
Right. So were you trained on, was it Narvon? Is that what that's called?
Narcan,
yeah. Yeah, you've been trained on that too, I imagine, huh? Yeah.
It's interesting. It just depends on how much you want to put into it as far as a personal thing, but I work for a company that actually provided that. It was a global company that I worked for, and they said, hey, if you want to get this training, we'll pay for it. I'm like, sign me up, you know? Just because, you know, it was offered to employees, and I thought, why not, you know?
Yeah.
So, and I'm also trained as a hazmat responder.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, right? I know. It's because it was always, whatever it was offered, I just took it, you know?
That's
one of those people, you know?
I think that's fantastic.
I think people, and it's not, I don't want to say it's, pretty much anybody can do that.
Yeah.
And that Narcan thing, I got that certification over on a video.
Yeah.
I didn't go to a class for that. And I just think that, why not, right?
Why not?
Because they're going to look for somebody and, you know there's a doctor in the house.
You know what is the saddest thing or the most, where you just say to yourself, what the bleep? When we went to the place, the lady's starting up that place, like a halfway house for fentanyl and opiate abusers or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, yeah.
And she said they'll have, what's it called, Narcom?
Narcan parties.
Narcan parties.
Oh, wow.
Where they'll get stoned or whatever you want to call it to the point where you go out and then they have to revive the people. And they do it. They intentionally go till they're out and then get revived.
Bring them back to life.
Isn't that to do it again. What the bleep?
Wasn't that a Kiefer Sutherland movie?
Yeah, that was. Remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do.
Where they, you're such a movie guy. I thought I remember that.
Yeah.
I can't think of the name of it, but
died,
yeah.
And then the little Billy kept coming after Kiefer Sutherland.
Was it 13 Monkeys?
I don't remember.
Okay.
But my wife would know. She's really good at this.
Yeah.
But back to what we were talking about.
Yeah.
So as a first responder and stuff like that, Wisconsin has a, what do you call it, where you can't be, you know, criminally charged if you help somebody.
The Good Samaritan law?
Yeah, Good Samaritan law. Thank you. I knew you'd know that. but the Good Samaritan law, so you can help somebody and not
without
worry about them saying, oh, he helped me and then he broke my rib
because
he gave me chest compressions, you know?
Right, right.
Right.
But no, that's really, you know, I mean, that's just all good information.
And the way we got on this is Gizmo, And what's your title for this production?
I don't really have
publicity.
One. Yeah,
publicity,
just
a
publicity guy.
Well, you're
yeah.
consulting a little bit
yeah,
too
I'm just
on
a
this
for,
yeah.
for a play that's coming up called Population 485. Now, I always say the Web Theater. Is it Evergreen Productions at the Web Theater, or how does it?
It's actually at the Web at okay. St. Norbert, and okay. it is an Evergreen production.
Got it. Okay, and, I want to make sure that. And the reason we're talking about this, it's basically based on a book a gentleman wrote from the western part of the state who was a first responder, and he talks about if you really want to know what goes on in a community. First responders know more than anybody, yeah. the good, the bad, and all those kinds of things. Can you tell about some of the people that are in some of the roles?
Well, I haven't gotten to watch too many of the rehearsals because okay. I kind of want to see it fresh. I'm going to go see it on Sunday, and I want to have a fresh perspective of it. But I know most of the actors in okay. it, and act. You know, they're all, you know, a lot of them are what I would call the veterans in this community. They're really great, so I know they will deliver a really powerful
And the Web Theater is a great place.
Yeah, it really
is.
Hey,
if you haven't been at that whole theater and around, which is just very, very cool. Johnny, you read that book, though.
Yeah, I loved it. I want to find his other books.
The reason I think this is going to be a great play, and I haven't seen it, I haven't read the book either, but John Mino has read hundreds of books. Like, that's not my thing. I mean, I like reading trade journals and newspapers, but... and he just remembers this book like yesterday. Yeah. Like, I got to meet this guy. It's yeah. a great book. So that's going to be pretty cool. We're going to go to the show.
You know, one of the things, he breaks things down. I remember this one little thing from the book. He says, you know, people scoff at electricity or whatever. It's basically bringing fire into your house.
Yeah.
You know, people don't respect it. It's bringing fire into your house.
Yeah.
I mean, he really opens your eyes
yeah.
in his book.
And the other side of it, too, that sort of opened my eyes a little bit is because it's a smaller town. And in these smaller towns, if you're one of those people, if you will, you go to respond and it might be, you know, Uncle Lenny.
Absolutely.
Right? Somebody you really know.
Yeah.
You know,
and he talked about some of the car accidents, slaughter on the roads, he calls it or whatever. It's just, it's eye-opening. It's really something. He's a phenomenal writer. Michael Perry is his name. And I know he's got other books. I'm going to try to find those out there.
So here's the idea. We've got some tickets to give away, and I wanted to talk about that. Do we have time to do that
right now? Go ahead. Sure. Okay. 2 minutes.
Here's what I want to do. I thought we could go with the first three people that either called or texted, and we'll provide that number for you. But if you're a EMT, if you're a first responder, maybe firefighter, even police, anybody that really works in the community, just call us and then tell us, this would be fun part. Tell us what your song is. Maybe you haven't used it because I haven't used mine, thankfully, but tell us what your song is that you use for chest compressions.
Wow. Because staying alive is the first
one. That's the go-to, right? Yeah. That's what I think of right away. And thankfully I've never had to use it. But just text in that if you have one or not. But,
Todd, how do they do that?
That's cool.
Best thing to do is download the Civic Media app right now. You choose your station, WISS or WGBW. Text us in the lower hand corner. First three, and you know, you got to be a first responder or something like that, and we'll get you.
No, they don't have to be, do they? But if they are, let us know. Yeah. Or do they have to be a first responder?
What's that?
Would you prefer them being police or first responder?
I don't
firefighter?
Think. I think
if you're trained and have a song in your head for chest
compressions,
you qualify.
Yeah.
Outstanding.
So here's the cool thing about the tickets. You don't even have to come and pick them up. St. Norbert's has done this great program where all you have to do when you call in, you'll get a code and you can pick any show. There's six performances coming up. You can pick the performance you want and then send the code to the and then you get your tickets. You can get them at the box office. You can go online.
Todd's a magician.
I love it. This music.
Gizmo, always a pleasure having you here.
Thanks, guys.
And you're still doing stuff with the magic?
I am.
All right, folks. You
hope
would not
be June.
Sorry to have him come to your apartment or we come to your party. Back after this. Hey, welcome back. Special thanks to Gizmo, who is always fun to have in here. And he's going to be at our anniversary show, by the way. He's going to be doing some magic tricks. It's going to be fantastic. I look forward to that. When you see him do the whole thing, it's really something. It's really, really cool. We had Big Wayne and Julie Mazzolini here talking about the Mindful Spring Cleanup. Wayne wants to go with a slow-mo May versus the no-mo May. And everybody's... Jim, what are you doing?
I gotta pay my parking.
Does anybody have quarters for Jim? He has to pay his parking thing. No, I got some in my car.
I got two.
Oh, Amanda can do it on the app.
Here. Amanda, I've got two quarters here.
All right.
But he does get charged $10, right?
Oh, no question. No question.
Well, that is,
there's no excuse. You could have filled it. You could have had 3 hours worth, 4 hours worth, whatever, and no, you didn't do it.
What's that?
Your parking meter. You just got fined for missing the opening of the...
But that was... I saved $11, John. Yeah, a $10 fine for not being at my desk.
Yeah. Hey, good point. Good point.
$21.
Can I give you the total so far?
Yeah.
It's not looking good. Jim's going to lose his mind.
Oh, no.
John's got $60 in fines. I've got 10 because of the word that he said on the earlier thing.
Yes, yes.
He's $90.
$90. Some charity's going to get a nice little present from us. Yes.
All right.
That's where we're at. We got Aaron Popke from the Packers coming up, Director of Public Affairs, talking about a lot of things going on with the Green Bay Packers these days. But, you know, another thing. Oh, hello, Amanda.
Oh, I put 2 quarters in. You're good for now.
Oh, she put 2 quarters in for you. Thank you, Amanda.
That's only a half hour. We're here for...
You'll be fine.
When you're going to be close.
You know what? Just take that badge out and put it on.
Todd, yeah, I was
thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
Well, leave it open on the dashboard.
I get this. So yesterday I went to see the mayor and
the real mayor.
When you get an appointment to see them, they email you a parking pass. Okay. So and then you print it out at home and then you put it on your dash. And I was leaving his office yesterday and the parking attendant was there, same guy that runs our area here, and he's like, you can put some money in there? And I'm like, can you read? I didn't say that because I didn't want the ticket. But it was right on the dash. But the date, it's only a one-day thing. Or I would have taped it to my dash. Used it down here, so I couldn't use it. But
can't you change the date, maybe?
He did honor it. No, I looked at John. I tried. I turned the white out and everything. No, it didn't work. So
All right.
Wow, $90.
Yeah. There you go. So anyway, that'll teach you.
Yeah.
That'll learn you. Great guests today. Haven't they been fun?
Yeah.
How about the thing that Wayne's going to, we got to get this guy from Pesh to go.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to start a mushroom farm.
I think that
I'm excited about that.
Work.
Yes.
I think that's going to be fun.
I'm taking orders, folks. Who wants some fresh grown mushrooms?
John, don't be selling.
Minus mushroom farm.
You don't even have a product yet.
I'm going to do a website.
So that's Field and Forest, right up in Pesh to go.
Yeah.
And we're going to, John, you plant them now. You can start saying that in fall.
Yeah.
Okay, don't say it now.
No, I'm taking pre-orders.
Okay.
What?
Because if you don't follow through with the orders, they're not
going to
be happy.
I'm going to follow through, Jim.
I don't think you have a product yet.
I'm going to have a product.
And where are you selling? Where are you going to grow them? See, that's exactly what I mean. You have just zero plan in place for this. So I think what we should do, and I'll help you with this, but I think we should find some land, go up to that Peshtigo, that's not that far away, talk to that guy and say, look, can we really do this? And if we do this, how many would we have? And then get the cost, and then we can say, look, will this be done in fall?
I'm going to bring these up to my brother's camp.
Okay, that's a good
idea.
I'm
going up there in June, May or June.
I think he said that you got to plant them in May.
May, okay, I'll go up there in May.
Okay.
And I'm going to, wherever there's shady spots, I'm gonna plant them all over. What do you think about that?
That could work.
I know. I'll harvest bushels and bushels.
The problem with that
is... I'm going to come back and we're selling them at the farmer's market.
Well, I don't know about that, but...
What do you mean you don't know about that?
You have to get a permit. You've got to get... There's a waiting list.
Okay, what if I did this? What if I did this? What if I was just like half a block off the farmer's market?
Yeah, people have tried that.
And?
You don't have a license, and there's no traffic there. Nobody can see you there.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that have to park and walk past those areas.
That's true.
I could sit up like in front of the Meyer Theater type thing.
Wouldn't you feel weird, not being part of the party and just standing out on the corner?
I'd say I could be if I wanted to, but I don't want to.
Okay. Anyway, yeah, I think you've got a little bit of a reputation out there, and I'd like to see you follow through on this. And then who's going to watch those mushrooms when you're down here?
You don't need to. Who needs to watch a mushroom?
He said you got to feed them. They eat the wood chips, the wetted, and you got to water it, make sure it's moist. And I don't know, man. I think you should be on top of it.
I'll my brother do it.
All right. Okay. I'm done. You go to do it. You want.
You know what? I'm going to do it, Jim.
Yep.
Okay.
I'm.
And go with your butterfly garden or whatever it is you do.
It works. All I say is it took us years.
Do you get those monarch butterflies there?
Yeah.
What's the big deal about them?
Oh, they're great.
Why? What's so great about a monarch?
What do you mean? Such a different about them? It's beautiful. And they're losing their population. So we take it from the milkweed and just get that little pinhead dot, and then we bring them in the house. And then they grow into a little caterpillar, and then we have four different places they go into because they'll eat another caterpillar. So they munch on these leaves, and then they get up to the fourth one, and then you got like a stick in there, or they crawl up, and then they do the cocoon, and then they become a butterfly, and you let them go. It's a process.
So you grow them in your house, or raise them in your house?
Raise them in our house. The milkweed is outside, and then and then we have a butterfly garden where they can enjoy it. Mm-hmm. Bees, butterflies, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they stay there.
Yeah, but I just want to say this.
What do they do in the winter?
They fly down to, you know, through Nashville. They fly south.
Then do they come back?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
And I think they make.
I'd never heard of a butterfly garden before.
Four rounds. I think it's four that they go back and forth, and then they die. Is that four? You know what? I'm a little out of my league. My wife does this. Okay. I just kind of listen.
Let's
to
have
her.
Donna on.
Yeah, yeah, she's really, and our neighbor too, the Keans, they're totally into this. And she's part of that monarch, that butterfly. She's got a shirt and everything. And you can put your stories on, like blogging, whatever that is. And there's a lot of information. So they really want to save the monarch or promote that. And yeah, it's a big
deal.
She could
come on and talk about that, but then I've got another idea.
All right.
We could play the newlywed game and see how well they know each other.
Oh! Yes!
You can be Bob Eubanks.
I will be Bob Eubanks.
Oh, my God.
He had great hair.
Yes. Yeah.
Bob Eubanks had great hair. Oh, I could be Bob
you
Eubanks.
You could. He was annoying.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah.
We're doing this.
Okay.
Oh,
I don't know if that,
Jim,
I get that, I get,
Jim,
like,
get
I'm only
that
50%
done.
Of the, yeah, less than that, really.
We all love Donna.
Yeah, I know. No, you guys.
Here come the newlyweds. Yeah, no. We are so doing this.
The 30 weds, right? 30
not
years?
Even a question. We're doing this. Oh my
that
goodness.
Might not be,
we're doing it.
I gotta think.
When's your anniversary?
May 26th.
Okay. May 26th. She's coming on the show.
Yeah, May 26th. It's May 26th.
Perfect.
We got married over Memorial Day weekend, which is great because we had like a 3-day wedding.
All right.
That was fun.
You're coming on the she's coming on the show.
May 26th.
Yes.
Do you want to get another couple like John and Julie? No, because then somebody's got to win. No, because I don't want to just embarrass. No, I think we can get another couple on here. So maybe.
Oh, I think just embarrassing you is fine.
Yeah.
I think Gizmo and his wife or John and Julie.
No.
John's got to play the part of Bob Eubanks.
Yeah, exactly. Amanda? You want to get on the
news? She's not married.
She's not married.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
okay.
Who can we get? Who do we have out there that's married that would come on the show with us?
Christy? No, not married.
Put it out there, Todd.
Big Wayne is married, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Big Wayne and Angel.
We could have the other mayor and is mayor.
Yeah,
Eric.
True that.
We could do that.
The mayor's newlywed game. All right.
Okay.
Eric could probably play with that. He's a pretty good guy.
I like the sounds of that.
May 26th.
Yep. Hey, when we come back, Aaron Popke, Director of Public Affairs for the Green Bay Football Packers, will be joining us. Mind on the Mayor. Stay with us. Another very special guest, Aaron Popke, Director of Public Affairs from the Green Bay Packers, fresh off his trip to Motown to see how the local communities handle 700,000 people coming to town. Right, Aaron?
It was a sight to see. Really, hats off to Detroit, the NFL, the Sports Commission over there, Visit Detroit. They put on a great show, and as we were talking just before we came on, really shows downtown in a great light. That's come a long way. I go back long enough to when the Packers were playing at the Pontiac Silverdome.
Absolutely, which was the worst place to play in the world. Remember that?
Yeah. And they opened up Ford Field in 2002, and the Lions and the NFL said, hey, will you please stay your team downtown. We're trying to energize, reinvigorate. I was doing team travel at the time, so we said, yeah, we'll do that. So we stayed downtown at a hotel right there. And let's say it was still on the come back then.
Yeah, I know, because I worked in Flint.
Yeah.
And you want to know what the worst sporting event was at the Silverdome? Was the Pistons. That was the Pistons. So you got a 75,000-seat arena, and you got 10,000 people with big curtains curtaining off half the place.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that was going to be, and then the Metrodome was built, and that was going to be but people looked at those things, it's like, ugh.
Yeah, it's beautiful what they've done.
So yeah, really, and that whole downtown with the pizza guy, he made a huge investment.
Domino's,
Little Caesars.
I mean, sorry, Little Caesars. Little Caesars Arena and everything.
And you know, they have a lot of events, and they kind of share the parking a little bit. I mean, they really know what they're doing, and I just kudos to what they've done for that city. That city has come back, and I mean, I want to talk about what we're going to do here, but I just want to say one thing about Detroit is they are really coming back, and I just want to give them so much credit. I mean, they lost half their population. It's just, oh man, and they've got great leadership over there.
And there's no trouble, right?
No.
I mean, like,
was it three arrests?
Three arrests or something out of 700,000 people?
Yeah, it's night and day what it was then and what it is now. Right, it's really exciting for them.
Cool.
So some people hear that number and they're thinking, oh my God, on our best Packer game, we get 90,000 people here. And can we handle it? And we had the mayor on the phone. I was actually with him yesterday talking a little bit about things. And, you know, I think there's going to be some traffic issues, is what he told me. But he thinks, in terms of handling the event, I mean, what do you think? You've been at, what, four of these?
Yeah, this is my fourth one, and they're all different. They're all unique. The campus, the layout, how they plug into the community. So it was interesting to see how they did it. And they had a great plan. And as you said, there's a lot of parking downtown, and they had a transportation.
So the NFL doesn't step in and say, this is, you know, you do it this. They let the communities kind of develop it themselves, huh?
No.
No.
The NFL sets it up. Now, they work with the communities.
Okay, go ahead. Take that part. Because there's so many questions about the draft, right? I mean, we're on the clock. The clock is on, which is hard to believe. But so go ahead, talk about those. Because people keep asking both of us when they come in. Like, we've got some insight. We don't. So just give us, like, the parameters of where it's at.
Well, let's do that. Yeah, we'll talk today as what we know. But then,
that's what I mean.
I'll come back
in
the future. And as things come together, let's keep talking.
That would be fantastic. Thank you.
Great service.
Let's start from square number one.
So what happens is well, shoot, we've been working on this since 2015.
That's what I mean.
When it went to Chicago, they had this idea. They had some schedule issues in New York at Radio City. So, all right, we'll take it out.
Take
we'll
it
go
on
out
the road.
To a city. So 15 and 16 they did in Chicago, and it worked out well.
Yep.
And I think that's when they said, maybe we can take this out and around.
Absolutely.
So in 16 they said, hey, NFL cities, if you're interested, we've got this program, Express Your Interest. And Mark Murphy said, Aaron, I think we should be going after this. And Brad Toll with Discover Green Bay had the same thought. So we started putting in our interest then. Brad and I went to Philadelphia in 2017, saw that event. And we're like, hey, we have the campus. We can do this. And then the other pieces, of course, have to come in around it. But what the NFL does is they choose a city. In your bid specs, you need to lay out, hey, what your campus could be. And then you need to secure satellite parking, shuttle transportation, hotel rooms, everything that goes into a big event. You got to kind of line that up, get the skeleton set, and you put that in. The NFL says, okay, hey, you're on, we're coming. And they do multiple site visits. So they set the campus. So
okay.
You show them what's available, and they say, all right, we think we want to do this.
Okay.
But you also bring support in from the communities financially to help offset some of the, I mean, that was the resolutions that passed a lot of municipalities. I mean, most importantly, the city of Green Bay. But
We had to go to the city, the county, the village,
because
they're all involved, and get commitments of support.
Right.
There's certain language in there. But the host committee, in this case, mostly the Packers, has to raise the money to put it on. So you set the table. The NFL comes in. Now, they spend a ton of money themselves. I mean, think of that big stage that they erect and all the programming and all that stuff.
Yeah.
It's a break even, if best, for them. Just, I mean, they have sponsorships and so forth. And with the Packers, we knew we had to lead this. Brad and his team do a great job at Discover Green Bay, but they're not set to go after an event of this size. So that's why we led it. The Packers worked with Brad, his team, hotels, venues, all those sorts of things.
Okay, you mentioned Chicago, Philadelphia, Detroit, you know, a million plus populations. What are the main, and probably obvious question, but it's not apples to apples doing it in Chicago or Philly or Kansas City or those places versus doing it in Green Bay, Wisconsin. What are your major obstacles?
Well, as I said, the campus we set up great. I mean, you think of the space involving Resch Expo.
Have you announced where it's going to be yet?
No, the NFL has to decide that.
Okay, they're still going to decide. Okay.
Yeah, so come in, and they really set all the details.
Okay,
they work with the host, the site. Of course, they work with municipalities to set up ingress, egress, public safety, fire. All those things go into an event of this magnitude. So that's what we're in right now. They came in about 6 weeks ago, did another site visit. They kind of mapped out where they were at that time. It may still change, but we have a sense of what they're going to do. So space-wise, we're in good shape. I think just where they set the entry gates and then parking nearby. But again, all these satellite parking areas, how that all works, that's going to come together. The NFL's got a great app they use for the draft called One Pass. That's got all that information. So we have a sense of that. They're coming in for a site visit next month to do some updates. And we'll continually get things put together. And then when things get established, then we'll go out to the community and say, hey, if you're planning on being around that weekend, it's starting to take shape this way. So that's all going to come.
We think it should be right here outside of our window. Yeah, downtown of Washington.
Downtown.
What do you think?
Well, that would be a huge draw.
Yes.
Yeah. Man,
our show alone.
Yeah. Looking in this window.
We'd just be standing there the whole time looking out.
If you can't do that, then get Roger Goodell on our show.
Well, I think what we saw in and we've seen all the different drafts. Cleveland was comparable, Kansas City comparable, because we know we're going to get a big crowd. I mean, the projections we set up were based off of Kansas City and Cleveland, which are markets that have NFL fandom, other NFL teams within a drivable area. So but we've got that.
But as something you know, Green Bay fans aren't like other fans. You remember the Super Bowl in San Diego? And they, I just talked to a guy, like Chamber of Commerce type of guy or whatever, and he was saying, you know, we thought we had this planned out perfectly, like, okay, X number of tickets and like another certain percent of people that'll come just for the festivities. We had no idea. It like quadrupled any Super Bowl as far as Packer fans who didn't have tickets that just wanted to enjoy the spectacle and everything.
Be in the
so you know Green Bay is going to be, because again, God bless Kansas City Chiefs, but does anybody really have a, you know, bucket list, I want to see Kansas City Chiefs Stadium, but how many people want to see Lambeau Field and everything that goes along with it? I think this is going to be incredible, don't you?
Yeah, the draft, the NFL's done a tremendous job with the draft, building it as right. one of their tentpole events. I mean, it now rivals the Super Bowl.
Right.
I mean, even more people showing up to Absolutely. See the draft. I think for us, it'll be the draft, it'll be Lambeau, it'll be this unique city. We have Green Bay. I mean, the Heritage Trail downtown. I think the NFL is going to lean into the history that we have here.
Exactly.
And we go back to the beginning days of the NFL. So it's going to be a different kind of draft in that scope.
Exactly.
But we still think there's a ton of people. I mean, Detroit's got 4 million plus metro. The Lions are coming off a great year.
You're right.
The weather was beautiful.
The timing was perfect for
that. So I think a lot, there was a lot of Honolulu blue, but we did see a lot of Packers fans.
Well, I know people from the UP that drove down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think, you know, Kansas City had 312, I think they said, over the course of 3 days. That's a metro area of about 3 million plus a drive area. So I think a lot of things go into it. We know this for sure. It's going to be the biggest event Green Bay has hosted.
Oh, yeah. Ever.
Jim said, you know, we get 90,000 maybe on a Packers weekend. I think Wisconsin LSU is a good thing to look at because we had all those LSU fans coming in. So we know we can do that. Even going back to after the Packers won the Super Bowl in 2010, we hosted the kickoff concert that
was
next
great.
Thursday night. So we had that concert out on Armed Forces in Oneida.
Is that Kid Rock in that?
No, yeah, Kid Rock, Maroon Lady Blue? Antebellum, yeah. Maroon 5. Yeah.
Maroon 5, Maroon Blue, Maroon 5. I just saw that was a great, and that was pretty much run by the NFL.
Yes.
I mean, I was at some of those meetings, and it's like, who are you again? You know, I mean, they really kind of took over that.
That was the Saints game, wasn't it? Didn't we open up with the Saints?
Yeah. Thing? Yeah. But I went with Walker to that game. That was a blast.
Yeah.
So
all those big events that we've hosted are a bit informative because you think of that concert. We were in the stadium looking at it and a ton of people out there, as we all saw. And they're like, all right, well, they'll all be coming into the game at some point. Well, then we got to kickoff and the stadium filled up. There were still 20, 30,000 people.
Exactly.
So we know 100,000 plus can get there and enjoy it. This will be bigger than that, but we know we can absorb it. I think the skeleton of the plan has been in place since we were announced a couple of years ago. We've been working on that since. Our Doug Collins, who heads up our public safety, has been meeting with Green Bay, Brown County, Ashwaubenon. They've got a team together that's working on ingress, egress. They were all in Detroit you know, for multiple weeks. Captain Ben Allen and the sheriff, public safety, Ashwaubenon.
Jim feels good that Jim Arts is involved. Hey?
Jimmy Arts,
I mean, I was just going to say, we got an inside guy in there. Jim wouldn't like me to say that, but I mean, that guy knows what he's doing.
Oh, yeah. And we saw him in Detroit.
Yeah.
And
he's been all of them. I'm not,
we know we can accommodate.
Sure.
How many show up, we'll be able to handle them. It's going to be a great time. We're going to focus on those things that we think we can do well in terms of hospitality, just the engagement with the fans, all those things. We're really excited. We saw what we saw. We know it's going to be the biggest group that we've seen. How big it is, we'll see, but we can accommodate it. We know that.
That's awesome. And I think that some people were like, wow, can we handle this? And we had the mayor on last week. And, you know, and as Johnny said to him, I told Eric this yesterday too, he's got that quiet confidence about him. He's not sweating this thing. And, you know, you've been to a lot of this, and neither are you. So I'm not worried about it. I mean, I think we rise to the occasion anyway. So
I know what Jim's main concern is? How Jim can make money off of this.
Is that my main concern?
Well, it's high up there.
It's high up.
Todd main concern, yes or no?
Yeah, it is. I think there's an opportunity. I did go. There's going to be vending opportunities, and I asked. I teach at TC, and I said to the mayor, I said, if one of my students wants to try something, it'd be good for his class. It'd be good to learn about business. I don't want him to have to pay top dollar to get a license or a permit. I want you to give the student something like $50. And you know what he said? He said maybe we could even pay for it. Like, I think that's going to be, I hope some students get an opportunity.
I'm glad you brought this up because we know it's a tremendous opportunity for economic impact, certainly the hospitality, the tourism, all those things. But what we're excited about, and we went to the state when they granted us $2 million to help put this on, we are going to promote the heck out of the state, and we're going to have business opportunities. The NFL's got a program, Business Connect, where they have diverse suppliers that they engage with to support the event. They had 60 in Detroit. They're shooting for 100. That's a program that's growing every day. Cool. So entrepreneurs, diverse businesses, minority-owned businesses, women-owned businesses, all those types of businesses, 51% owned. They've got the certifications out of there. Our Packers mentor, Protege, has been working with these businesses for 15 years. There's going to be an opportunity for them to get plugged into the event. It's a huge event. I think all the businesses have going there, and we got more information coming on that. But even a business like Jim, your business back in the day, you didn't necessarily connect to the draft, but you're like, what can I do to capture this energy?
Right.
The campus is going to be open as it builds out to Thursday, Friday, Saturday. But like say Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, if you're a business in town, you hold an annual meeting. Bring your salespeople in. Bring your clients, potential customers. Hey, we're holding our annual meeting Tuesday of the draft week. Come on in. We're going to do all our usual stuff. But then we're going to do a field trip and go out and see the campus and see the stage built up. You know, we're just trying to think of these ways for businesses to just capture that energy, maximize it.
Love it.
Shame on us if we don't do that.
Yeah, right.
And by the way, you do have the, you get running very cool merchandise right now with the draft Green Bay 2025.
I saw Jordan Love today in the building, and I was wearing some swag. He said, hey, you were in Detroit, right? I said, yeah. He said, how was it? I said, it was great. Oh, it looked great on TV. We're going to do it better, though, right? So Jordan Love's fired up
next year. Yeah.
Just to talk football for 1 second. How awesome is we got a guy like that now? I mean, just one of the greatest human beings. We had him at me and Ted Stefaniak at our high school football game in Pulaski a couple of years ago. Or in Denmark, I think. It was one of the small towns. And he was there for the Packers' fight against cancer. And he came up to the booth, and he was interacting with people in the stands and playing catch with them and everything. It's like, we got a nice, normal, cool guy with an incredible right arm. And it's like, Packer fans. You know, I mean, look at the Bears, 21 quarterbacks and whatever, starting quarterbacks. And we've had three. God bless. Hope you stay celibate. We got a good one there, don't we?
As a human being. We are fortunate. Favre, Rodgers, Love, and support. Around them.
Unbelievable. Can you stick around here? We got a couple more questions for you. Okay. We got Aaron Popke, Director of Public Affairs for the Green Bay Packers, talked about the draft. They were on the clock. Back after this.
Somebody better put your bag into your place. We will rock you.
Hey, welcome back. Mine on the Mayor and a great Wednesday morning. We got Aaron Popke, Director of Public Affairs for the Green Bay Packers, here talking about the Packers draft. Now, another thing with Jim, you know, I said, how does it affect me, the former mayor, Jim Schmidt?
What?
I'm trying to convince him to, and we had a gentleman on a couple of weeks ago who works for a company to help people Airbnb, so to speak. And Jim is on the fence where he might do that for his house. Do you guys get people calling you or asking you guys for advice on that?
We do.
Okay.
I think, you know, the community has all sorts of opportunities here. As you guys may know, Brad and his team keep up with numbers of hotel rooms, but we'll be up to roughly 5,000 next year in our community. There's about 1,000 rentals, Airbnb, Vrbo type of thing. Fox Valley's got another 4,000 rooms. Detroit, interestingly enough, has 6,000 rooms downtown. Now, the greater metro area has like 40,000 rooms. So just comparable. We know we're going to draw from, people are going to stay in Milwaukee and drive in. I mean, when you do an hour and a half, 2 hour drive radius in the state of Wisconsin, you're up well over 2 million people.
Oh, yeah.
So we know we're going to draw, but there are opportunities. Discover Green Bay, greenbay.com has a draft
set of subpages.
Already?
And, yeah.
Okay.
And within that, there's home rental information.
Oh, outstanding.
Very so, cool. Jim, you can go to bay.com and see what you need to do.
Yeah. Aaron's been to my house more times than you, John.
I've been there once.
Yeah. So, Christmas party.
Yeah. I've invited
lovely home. Yeah, historic Astor Park.
It is. And I don't know if we're going to do that, but... I don't know. It's almost like, why not? You know, and I got another place I can stay at. So it's, I don't know. We're going to see. Are you, I don't know. I guess I'm not going to ask you if you would encourage that, but it seems if you vet the tenant that there's an opportunity to make some extra money if it doesn't cost any money to get out of your house. So
it's, I mean, that was being discussed early on. I've actually gone to a few of the room tax commission subcommittee meetings on rentals just to have a sense of that. And I know the municipalities are all getting their ducks in a row to handle that. So it's out there, it's getting worked on, and yeah, that's an option for
folks. Yeah, it's going to be fun. Hey, at the NFL draft, John and I know he knows a hell of a lot more about football than I do, but it's free. Like, I didn't know that until, like, yesterday. I just thought everything that you guys did was kind of ticketed in some way, shape, or form. It's just free?
Correct. The NFL has had it be a free event since they took it on the road.
Wow.
And even in New York, I think it was. I think for them, it's a way to grow interest in the game during the off season. That the draft itself has become this crazy, huge thing, which is great. The NFL has done a great job to build a year-round interest in it. And this event... I mean, even on Thursday, when they filled up the draft campus to capacity, they shut the gates, and I was walking around the outside. They did a really neat way to kind of have this one-off branded activation, which we're going to do here as well, because we've got some neat areas that can do this. So there's a lot of neat stuff we're going to build off of Detroit. But they make it free. I mean, the entertainment, they have concerts. Even the house band that's up there on stage between picks is really entertaining. So I think for people who just want to be around that energy, I mean, sports has this convening factor, be it youth, middle, high school, college, pro, that growing. And there's people that are capturing that, industries that are capturing that.
Let's say there's a great local band out there, like the glam band. Do you reach out or do they apply? Is there something for entertainers? And we have some great, I mean, Johnny Wadd, there's just a lot of Big Mouth that we've had on here and we just love them all. Opportunities for them, or are they going to end up at the bars around there?
I think both, you know, the league sets up
who they
bring in. Okay, they bring in some bigger names, will.
Yeah.
But I think there's going to be opportunities for all this ancillary programming that we talked about. And I've talked with the mayor and Ahmad and the village. You know, the league, of course, wants to focus on the draft and those draft times. But I think the shoulder time frames, the week leading up, there's some opportunities there. Certainly the days of, if you program it at the right times, there's opportunities, particularly Saturday afternoon and in the Sunday. I mean, the draft ends early evening. What was really, and we heard this, but what we saw firsthand in Detroit, lots of families on Saturday.
That's cool.
So we've got a tremendous opportunity to, you know, people be leaving town, but focus on the families that are coming in Saturday. Have them take the draft. There's all kinds of stuff that the experience that kids love. Stay overnight. And then on Sunday, go experience what Green Bay has to offer.
That's cool.
Children's Museum,
Zoo,
Bay Beach.
Wildlife Sanctuary.
Yeah.
He'll open it up.
We've got these tremendous opportunities that we're really going to
focus on. Are hotels already taking reservations?
I think through the branded platforms, you know, the Hyatt, Marriott. Whatever.
Okay.
It's like a year out. So I think those are opening.
They are. Now. Okay. All right.
But I think those plans are... I mean, tremendous opportunities. We're gonna leave no stone unturned.
So I feel a little bit bad for you because you've still got a whole football season to go through.
Plus,
I mean, this is it's kind of like the shiny object, but you can't forget about we still got a business to run here.
Yes.
Are you adding staff for this?
We do have some added staff that we brought on. We go after big events now regularly. We've kind of built our capacity a little bit more to do that. Be it. International soccer matches. We had that college football concerts. Of course, we throw our hat in the ring every year. We've got our window that we can do that. And this is the biggest one we will help coordinate, but it's something that, we've been, more intentional about and, gotten, better at. Gabrielle Dow, who's one of our VPs. She had worked in some other areas and has brought some knowledge to that, in terms of concert promoters and all those things.
Yeah. As much as I love, the Packers, and we all do, but you've had everything there, snowmobile, hockey, but one of the best, Billy Joel, but one of the best events I had there was that LSU game. That was like, we had a parade downtown. Remember that? It was just the whole community.
I'll tell you what, LSU football fans brought a whole different element to being a college football fan.
Exactly. Like 3 days they were here.
The Cajun invasion.
Oh, right? Wow. Wait till Notre Dame comes.
Yeah, yeah, I think Notre Dame, Wisconsin is going to be great in 26. We've got some other irons in the fire.
Oh, come
out
on,
there.
Let us know here. Come on, announce it here on our show.
We want Springsteen. We want a Springsteen. Right?
We want the boss. We want the boss.
Mark
in town.
Murphy wants that. But yeah. but we're more encouraged than ever that more, you know, some college football has some opportunities. Right. International soccer. We had promoters reach out just for this year. So we know we're on the map there. So we're excited about that.
That's great.
Two last quick things, but a couple of people that have been legendary with the Green Bay Packers that are awesome. Kurt Fielding,
athletic trainer,
inducted into the Hall of Fame for sports trainers, which was phenomenal, and just our very best, one of the greatest guys in the history of sport, Red Batty, equipment manager for 30 years,
yeah,
or maybe more.
Yeah, he started the year after I did.
Okay,
yeah,
what a wonderful entity he was for the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, we got great people there, and I'll just say it's an honor for me to join you guys this morning. Mino helped me cut my teeth back in 93 when I started as intern.
And you still turned out.
And Jim, when I got to work with you more, you really helped us understand what more we can do in the community. So really appreciate two of my mentors.
You know who else I ran into the other day? That was my intern, Mark Schiefelbein.
Oh, sure, Schief.
Legend.
Yep.
Oh, man. Great having you here. Can you do this like once a month or something? Seriously,
yes.
Updates?
Let's do that.
Awesome. Right. Aaron Popke, thank you so very much. Mino the Mayor, back in tomorrow morning. See ya. Out of